When you mentioned environmental damage to the...
So we are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have two items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. We don't have any discussion matters that I am aware of.
Wait, I'd like to add one.
To scheduling for Russo?
Both.
Or?
No. No, there's nothing to schedule yet on Russo, but I wanted to add something for discussion. I think Jack is going to come in here for this. Okay. And it's just, and I want to add one to scheduling too. But the quick discussion matter I wanted to bring up was the whole issue of the electric vehicle study that's occurring. There's an interim committee, and we have staff that is participating kind of on an intermittent basis. But I just wanted to get a feel for what our involvement is, where that study is going, and talk just briefly among us about maybe should we have a work session about electric vehicles and the regulatory structure that other states are reviewing and considering, and our role and just looking at our laws, et cetera. It's an issue that's come up a lot on the national level. It's being discussed here in North Dakota. I don't know that we have a lot of oversight, but I think it's important. I'd like to better understand it, so if we don't want a work session, I'll just meet separately with staff on it to discuss it. But maybe Jack can start by just giving a brief overview of that interim committee, his involvement, and where he thinks it's going, what they're talking about.
Sure, and I guess I can give you just a general oversight of my understanding of where they're at. There have been a number of stakeholder meetings. Linda Sitz has been overseeing that. She's with the Department of Transportation regarding the implementation of EV vehicle charging stations within the state of North Dakota. There was a settlement with Volkswagen, and so there's a substantial amount of funding that's come along and is being distributed to the states to implement such things as vehicle charging stations. Part of their discussion right now is to try to create a designated corridor. There's actually on a federal scale a designation of corridors for EV charging stations, and I think the space in between the charging stations generally have to be about 50 miles, and so they're in discussion of where to place these, how to use the funding in order to accomplish that. And the other thing that they're having a lot of conversations about is the public and private partnerships that are needed in order to bring about the electrification and the addition of these charging stations that they were discussing as well. I guess I can just generally say that I brought Conrad into the mix as well because he's with the Director of Weights and Measures, and a lot of states are the Weights and Measures program has been involved in the testing and the metering of these projects, even though I think the vast majority of states, the last I heard it was like 24 or more states have, the PUCs have decided that they don't actually have regulatory authority for utility rate regulation. There certainly could be an argument for it, but if you look at our jurisdiction generally, and this is discussions I had with the DOT, we regulate generation and distribution systems, it depends on how you look at it. Are these utility charging stations, distribution systems? I think most states have found that they are not. Also, in addition to that, there are a number of exemptions to that for our jurisdiction. Municipalities, co-ops, not-profits, non-profit organizations, and we wouldn't have regulatory authority under our current statutory framework. So you may end up with an interesting setup where, one charging station is, this one is not. Mm-hmm. So I know there's a lot of discussion about this. I can go into detail more about any of those issues to the extent of my knowledge, if you'd like, with IOUs, for-profit entities or any of that stuff, or I could actually pass it over to Conrad. He can speak to what part of discussion he had in his presentation he had with the DOT as well.
One second. I wouldn't mind hearing Conrad's, but Jack, one question for you. In all the states that have formally decided that they don't have jurisdiction, what triggered that decision? Like, why did they, because do we have to formally decide that, or does somebody come forward and ask for that decision? Or, I mean, because we haven't taken a position, I guess. What would trigger us taking a position?
Sure. I think in a lot of these states, they have more. They already have a lot of these charging stations already being implemented. So it kind of came to the forefront very quickly, people requesting jurisdictional determinations.
Okay.
In some instances, it may have been a very proactive commission seeing that this is all happening and saying, well, we need to really do an analysis of this and see if this is something we have to review. I will note that every state has a different regulations and statutory framework for this. So you will see that some have found they came to the same conclusion for different reasons.
So right.
For the ones I've read, they've all come to that conclusion.
And so are two of the determining factors ownership, but then if it's an investor-owned utility versus a co-op, for example, which we don't have jurisdiction over, but also then is it truly a distribution system or is it not? Because if it's not a distribution system, it really doesn't matter where ownership resides.
That is correct. If it isn't a distribution or generation circumstance, then it doesn't matter a whole lot. There has been some discussion in some states and some commissions who have a different regulatory framework as well. They have been proactive in trying to incentivize EV charging stations as well as EV rates. So, for example, some states will say IOUs, you cannot have charging stations. Other states will come in and say, actually, we would like it if you guys were on the forefront in trying to help integrate this into the current grid as it is and create this total market transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's arguments to both of that. I think generally with our least cost planning regulatory environment that we generally, and the approach that the commission has generally taken, it doesn't seem like that's necessarily the approach that normally the commission would be pushing. However, if that's something that you would like the staff to look into, we'd be happy to do some more analysis on that and provide some feedback to you on that.
Well, from my perspective, I think the charging stations are probably one of those things that will fall outside of our jurisdiction. But electric vehicles are definitely going to have an impact on our utilities and on the work we do. So we will be dealing with it through tariffs at some point.
Absolutely.
But I wonder, as it relates to the charging station issue, if it would be helpful for us to provide some decision in terms of what our jurisdiction is or isn't, just for clarity purposes, so people don't have to wonder.
Sure. Absolutely. We would be, that's prerogative of the commission, we'd be happy to start working on that and provide some sort of guidance of, in essence,
it might be helpful for that committee, for example,
sure,
and for the legislature to know that we've reviewed it. Here's where we are. You know, here's where we believe our jurisdiction is and where we're going to land on charging stations. And
sure.
And then as the industry evolves, they know that ahead of time and don't have to wonder.
Absolutely.
I think it would be very good to have a full-blown work session on this topic. Make sure that the utilities are aware of it and can participate and at least listen. But, you know, when we talk about other states determining and the likelihood that we might as well determine that we don't have jurisdiction over actual charging stations, they're going to have a huge impact on companies who are under our jurisdiction. If they're building infrastructure to get to these places to serve customers and because of some new incentive program or something or not, they allow it to charge enough to recover their costs, somebody's going to have to. And I'm not so sure that there's not going to be a lot of indirect impacts on companies that are under our jurisdiction. So I think we definitely need to be aware of what's going on and involved and available to provide information.
I would agree that a discussion would be warranted, but at the same time, there are a number of things, and I completely understand and agree with your point that there are so many different externalities working their way into the marketplace, whether it's rooftop solar, for example, that a homeowner may want to install, whether it's the use of an electric vehicle, and it does impact operations for the utilities that we have jurisdiction over, but indirect impacts don't automatically, nor should they, make these events jurisdictional to the commission either. So I think having clarity on that issue, as mm-hmm. Commissioner Fedorchak indicated, I think it's a really good idea just to say, here are the parameters of the law, whether or not this is or outside of the law, and then utilities aren't guessing. So I completely agree with that.
Sure. I think there's no doubt that this is going to – the electrification of vehicles could have a huge impact on the grid in general. I mean, almost everything you hear about it is – you can see that it's going to have a massive impact. We have been following this. A lot of our discussions that we had during these it's more intermittent. We're not at every single one. Sometimes we're calling in and listening. But we have been at a lot of these as well. We've been kind of waiting to see the direction that they're looking at taking this, and with that public-private partnership, and mm-hmm. we've been happy to advise them in any capacity up to this point. To the extent that you guys would like to take to create some sort of it may be good to actually just meet with the utilities. We could
let's have a work session and invite them.
Okay, like in an informal...
Sure.
Like similar to a PI meeting.
Okay. We might want to do a work session first, just so we're more up to speed on the law and what are, you know, all of that, and then see where that goes, and they would come to the work session, I'm sure.
Sure.
I agree. I think that's the right order to do this, and because first, the most important thing is to determine if it's even jurisdictional to begin with, because if it isn't, then there isn't, outside of an informational type meeting, just for the sharing of information, knowledge, et cetera, just, but if there isn't a regulatory requirement that is in place or that we don't see needing to be in place, then I certainly don't want to insert ourselves into a private sector industry that we don't have the authority to regulate.
So we'll add, can we add that to scheduling a work session on EVs, mm-hmm. EV regulation, EV charging stations? Just maybe keep it general, electric vehicles and impact on utilities.
As well as the weights and measures program.
And the weights and measures
program. Sure. And just some things to consider as we go into this further. The two key questions I see is for the jurisdiction is it a utility, you know, as part of the utility or the commission's utility responsibilities jurisdictional, but that is that going to be included or not included with the weights and measures aspect of it? And just for some background, the way other states have viewed this is if it's owned by the utility, if the chargers are owned by the utility, it would be non-jurisdictional for a weights and measures aspect, but there are private companies out there, just like you have gas stations out there owned by multiple different entities that are looking at using these and installing these devices. And then the question becomes, now is that jurisdictional for weights and measures from a consumer standpoint for purchasing this power? Because the utility doesn't own the charger now. Now it's a private individual or private entity that owns it. And then from there, it can even be further divested that some of these locations will charge a vehicle by the amount of time that it sits in a particular parking spot. So they're not necessarily the metered amount of electricity that mm-hmm. it's receiving, but just the time it's sitting there. Or the other side of it that would need to be accounted, just like we go out there and certify gas pumps, is the amount of power that that person is purchasing at this privately owned charger. So that's kind of, I guess, it you know breaks it down a little bit more rather than just is it jurisdictional from a public utility mm-hmm. standpoint.
The weights and measures piece is curious to me, because even if it is a meter that a private sector company – not a utility is using to, I mean, to it's measuring the power that's going out, right? They're getting that power from a utility that typically manages the meters that its customers have, and they would just be a customer. So why would we be involved in that?
Well, it depends on how it's set up. Is that operation being charged off of their main meter that's, you know, at the hub where the utility service comes in, and then it's further sub-metered down the road, because then they're charging the customer based on that meter. They're paying their utility based on their main master meter.
Huh. Okay.
I would imagine with the way the electric vehicles are set up, programmed, their capability to actually measure the charge that they receive, does that in effect become a rolling meter?
At the very least, this is a lot of thought that a lot of people that don't work in this area might not necessarily think of. So I think us getting together, visiting about it, talking with staff, mm-hmm. and then being a part of these discussions can help to avoid laws that don't necessarily say what they mean and then rely on common sense to figure it out later.
Let's pass the common sense law. Common sense rule.
I would note that I my understanding in the last meeting, the minutes show that they are planning on actually having a stakeholder meeting with at least commission staff, maybe all of you if you're interested in having that as well. I know they were planning on reaching out in January, February to discuss that and the regulatory framework and possible whether statutory changes are needed.
Who was that, the interim committee?
The interim committee.
Okay. I would rather we met before that, so let's schedule something and get up, like have our discussion first, and hopefully then we can get that done before we have to meet with them.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Anything else on that? Nope. Any other discussion?
Nope.
Matters that I'd like to add? Okay, then we will move into scheduling. The first would be a work session on the Railroad Safety Program. Conrad, is
Chairman, could we take the EV charging station scheduling first, so get the first available date for that? Because I'd sure would agree with whichever one of you said it would be nice to have our work session before whatever meeting we get invited to.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely fine with that. So
my schedule is awful the next week. But the 13th would be the only day next week that I could do it. And then I'm pretty open the week of the 20th.
I would prefer the week of the 20th. 13th could be a conflict for me.
And are we open on the 20th?
That's Martin Luther King Day.
So, what about the 21st? I know we have REC stuff, but...
I think 21st...
there's an annual meeting, but could we do it at like 9?
Quite a bit of their stuff, I think, you know, doesn't really necessarily... I didn't feel like I needed to be there for the whole day.
Right. I have blocked off from 10:30 to 2:30 because I think Byron Dorgan is speaking and I was curious to go listen to him and a few others. But 9 or...
9 on Tuesday would work for me.
The 21st?
I am looking at... I don't have the REC schedule.
It was mostly just like opening stuff in the morning, and the awards luncheon is over the noon hour.
Could we move it to 10?
That'll conflict with that speech that Julie was just talking about.
9:30?
This one could take a while.
Yeah.
How about 2?
Sure.
I just recall looking at the REC schedule that, you know, the opening in the morning and some of the items were of interest to me.
Okay. How about 2:30? Because I had blocked off 10:30 to 2:30 for the REC.
Sure.
Okay.
Commissioner Christman?
Yep. Going once, going twice, we're 2:30.
2:30. Okay. Next would be the meeting with the broadband.
On January 21st, right?
January 21st, correct. Okay, the next would be the meeting with the Broadband Association of North Dakota. Steve?
At a request from Shane Hart for a time, they're looking at January the 21st, and they're inviting you to the DCN building. It's the Rural Telephone Cooperatives. It's now called the Broadband Association.
They're here for the REC stuff, I bet.
Yep.
And didn't they usually do this in the past at like 7:30 or 8 right away in the morning?
What they're actually talking about right now is 8 o'clock, yes.
On the 21st?
Yes.
That works for me.
That still conflicts with...
Can you double check that schedule? Are you sure? Because I looked at that same thing and didn't see much before. It was all just kind of like opening ceremony stuff. First thing in the morning.
And the invite was for commissioning whatever staff you wish to take.
Do you want me to go get that magazine? Or do you have it online?
It's online. It's just loading slow. Okay, 9 a.m. is the call to order. Presentation and posting of the American flag, national anthem, youth leadership council report, and then at 9:30, the power of us. It's an update from Bob Grant and Josh Kramer that I did want to be at. So actually, it would be 9:30. So 8 o'clock, would we be out of there?
You could be.
Okay, yeah, and if I had to duck out just a little bit early, so we're talking 8 o'clock then on the 21st?
That is correct. And I will get back to Mr. Hart.
Okay, perfect. Then, now we're circling back to the Railroad Safety Program.
All right, so much for being number one, I guess. That's all right. I'd like
there's
to.
One more after this, Conrad, so you
okay, well,
last.
There we go. Not last.
Do you want to take so, the one
I guess
first.
I'm not the best either, then.
No, I don't want to offend Conrad, the one that's coming after this.
I would like to provide the commission with an update on the Rail Safety Program. It's currently still in the pilot state as it was extended by the Legislative Assembly. And then just some possible changes that are. Like to propose and just to think about for the future as we continue to advance that program and enhance it for the state and
smart changes, not yes. changes that require more staff.
Not
money.
Not excessive, overly burdensome changes, but very very calculated,
increasing
smart,
efficiency changes.
Yes, very good changes. maximum time I would think for this would probably be 30 minutes.
I think an hour.
You think an hour? Okay.
Yeah, because I meet with these guys on a monthly basis, but. I think that they have enough data that you to see kind of go through the highlights of what they found in the past year and go through. I just think there's enough meat there for you, these guys to hear and then talk about some of the changes too. So an hour, it won't be more than an hour. But.
No, I wouldn't say it's more. So.
And do you have a proposed date?
I don't have a proposed date, judging just seeing what the availability would be. I guess seems like that probably we're into the week of the 21st right now at the commission, I would think.
So what about, because it would be nice to have the inspectors here, and I'm going to propose something for the 27th, 28th, or 30th that's more along the fun nature that this inspectors might want to be here those days. So... I want to schedule the chili, the annual chili feed before the Super Bowl on one of those dates, the 27th, 28th, or 30th, if possible.
Just fair warning, I'm going to be loaded for bear on the chili.
Good.
I think we're all
and
be
it, it might make sense if it works to do it on the same day, then the inspectors would be here.
Marry it up nicely then.
Yeah.
I like the 30th the best of those three.
How does that work for you, Brian?
I think the 30th would be...
Okay, good.
Okay.
Could we do the rail thing at, like, 9?
That'd be my preference. It'd be in the morning.
Okay. And then the chili feed at 11:30?
So is there a trophy involved with the chili feed?
Yes, a chef hat. A traveling chef hat.
Okay, I just...
It's not commissioner specific, though. That actually goes to the employee.
I just want to know if I need to make room on the shelf or not. So.
Oh.
You have to bear it for the entire year.
How big is it? Before they're hatched. So 9 a.m. on the 30th then for the rail safety
Chef
meeting.
Brian Ordine.
Yeah. Jack won it once.
Yeah.
It was Thai chili.
So what happens when you win? Do you spike the crock pot? Or?
But nobody has been interested in my chili since.
All right. So then we also scheduled the chili feed for that day. Does that work for you guys?
11:30
on the 30th.
Absolutely.
Okay. May the best chili win.
Oh, we'll be missing. We might be missing a few people at. Oh, no, actually, I don't think we will. Weights and Measures annual meeting, is that on the 29th?
That's on the 29th, so conveniently it kind of fit right in there. Okay. It wasn't even a date you were proposing, Commissioner Dorchek. So
that's even better then.
That's the 29th that we'll be having that downstairs.
Okay, perfect.
What is that?
We are we're hosting a, like I said, a staff, I guess. It's more to bring in the registered service companies, and so we're having a Weights and Measures meeting where we're bringing in a representative from each service company to kind of do a refresh on our rules and just new fresh introductions and establishing good contacts with these companies that we work with every day. And so we're having that on the 29th downstairs in the.
Is that going to be a really heavy agenda? Weighty, perhaps?
Might be.
That's for you, Dave.
I plan to attend. Do either of you think you might attend at all?
I'm not sure. First I heard of it.
Okay, well.
I might have to throw my weight around a little bit.
Oh. This is my life. I was just thinking, Steve, we should make sure that we notice the NDAREC annual meeting, the Rural Electric Cooperative, on the 21st, 22nd. And then.
It's January.
Of January, and then, of course, the Weights and Measures meeting, probably just to be safe.
I'm just taking a measured approach before I come in.
Oh. Randy, you typically have a light touch.
Would anyone else like to weigh in on the first annual bad joke contest at the PSA?
Terrible. Bad joke rule.
Okay, is there anything else on scheduling or any other matters? Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you.